Jiang Zemin, the former leader of China, he presided over more than a decade of dramatic economic growth. He has died. He was aged 96. Joining us now, we have Rebecca Chun-Wilkins, Bloomberg's Asia government and politics correspondent, to talk about what Jiang's death might mean for China. Well, he certainly lived to a ripe old age. How's he being remembered in China?
Well, Jiang oversaw a period of extraordinary economic growth. Growth tripled under Jiang's leadership. And he really has this sort of legacy of opening up China. He resumed ties with the US. He was an English-speaking leader, as well as overseeing this period of enormous prosperity, moving millions of people out of poverty and into urban centers. And of course, he was a critical instigator in the development of China's real estate market, which, of course, we are now grappling with the consequences of some 20, 40 years later. The other side of things, though, of course, is the timing of his death is complicated deeply by the fact that there's so much dissatisfaction. And by contrast, prospects, I think, for many ordinary Chinese people simply don't quite have those same optimism. There's such low morale around COVID zero and the costs of that over the past 3 years.
Yes, his history, I believe, in the party goes back to 1949. So after the communists took power following the revolution, did he encounter a great deal of resistance from the conservatives within the Communist Party as he began to make it a little bit more of a market-oriented economy in the early 1990s?
Well, he certainly was put in place by Deng in part to sort of combat that dissent that broke out post Tiananmen. And it is worth reminding and remembering just now that it was in fact the death of a pro-reform leader that triggered the protests at Tiananmen that were a reason for mass mourning and to sort of mass organized meetings. So there was resistance among some of those, as you say, more conservative parts of the Communist Party. But in fact, that also reflected the greater diversity of the party back then. You know, over the last sort of decade under Xi, we have seen a real sort of tightening of the ranks. Many of Xi's rivals or rival factions have been said to be pushed out. So in some senses, Jiang also presided over a party that looked very different itself and gave a bit more room to this sort of diversity of views.
Interesting, you know, that old saying that you know, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. It's kind of curious that this week we've had the biggest protests in China since Tiananmen Square. Has the party taken any lessons from how that was handled and applied them today?
Well, I think the party will be very prepared for Jiang's death. There were sort of rumours circulating about ill health and so on for the past month and beyond that, in fact. So, you know, the history of the death of great leaders often being accompanied by these room to have sort of dissent and express dissatisfaction is, I think, a very well-known risk. And of course, in response to the protests that really sort of peaked over the weekend, last weekend, we have already seen very heavy police presence in major cities like Shanghai and Beijing that have already dissuaded protesters from some of the really active demonstrations that we saw earlier.
So when Jiang retired, I think he amassed a lot of influence behind the scenes. And one of the things I think that he was instrumental in doing is picking the current president, Xi Jinping. I mean, do we know his view on the way that Xi has been operating and particularly this historic move for a third term?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party has always been somewhat of a black box, and that has all but increased significantly, I think, under Xi. So we don't really have sort of explicit insight. But there was sort of said to have been a faction associated with Jiang, you know, that was sort of, let's say, more pro-reform, more sort of pro-open to private business, for example, that was said to sort of have waned in power over recent years. And saying that, in some ways, you know, although there is a perception of Jiang and a sort of nostalgia of that period that Jiang oversaw, he did also lay the groundwork for some of the more sort of repressive and stricter things that Xi Jinping laid out. So, for example, the Great Firewall, and also sort of tightening down on things like the Falun Gong and sort of political dissent more broadly.
Yeah, and in terms of that, how is Jiang going to be remembered by Western countries?
Well, I think there probably will be some nostalgia among the West too. I mean, all of this sort of extraordinary footage that is re-emerging of Jiang with the Clintons, many world leaders, all of these conferences. He was such a colourful character. He spoke English, which is not particularly unique, but he really used it on the public stage and was really outspoken when it came to sort of media appearances too. And I think there was more optimism. Jiang certainly set out to really not just resume ties with the US, but try to forge sort of real business links, as well as attract a lot of foreign direct investment. And it was under Jiang that we did see this big surge in foreign direct investment.
So do you think his time in office will represent the high watermark of liberalization?
Gosh, that's a very big question. I think if we think about it from the past decade that we've seen under Xi, and particularly the last 3 years, it certainly doesn't look like we're moving back towards that period of opening up. I think there is such a powerful contrast between the China that we see today, its borders all but closed, and many, in fact, the most of its citizens unable to actually leave the country at all, with the China that Jiang tried to oversee, opening borders. There was much sort of significant increase in English language teaching, for example. So definitely quite a stark contrast.
Just quickly, Rebecca, what sort of send-off do we anticipate for Jiang? Does China do big funerals?
There is typically a certain amount of fanfare that goes on. I think there's a little bit of uncertainty how that will play out because of COVID zero and because of the restrictions, even though there are these hints now that we're moving into a new phase. I think they will be highly on the alert for any kind of political sort of dissent and political activity because of the proclivity of deaths to garner this sort of response.
All right. Rebecca Chun Wilkins, Bloomberg's Asia Government and Politics correspondent, discussing the passing of Jiang Zemin, the former Chinese leader. He has died at the age of 96.